Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to call this meeting to order, Monday, March the 6th, 2023. And welcome, glad you're here. And at this time, I would like to ask the Reverend George Futrell to give us an invocation and then lead us in the pledge. Everybody, please rise.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the beauty and glory of another day that you've given us. As we come to the close of this day, we give you thanks for all that you've allowed us to do today. We pray your blessings upon the gathering tonight. And we pray, Lord, that you'll bless the commissioners with all the wisdom and knowledge that they'll need to deliberate upon the items that are on the agenda. We thank you, Lord, for their service to the community, to this county, the community. Lord, we thank you again. We always like to thank you, Lord, for those of us that have the privilege to work and carry out the policies and procedures and the edicts that they send forth, that we can take care of the business at hand. Thank you, Lord, that you give us the privilege to serve and to serve the citizens. And we just pray you'll continue to bless us in that regard. Bless all of our public servants, Lord, our law enforcement, rescue, fire, all those that come into harm's way. We just thank you for what they do for us, and we pray you'll bless them. Bless us now tonight, and as we depart and go our separate ways, we pray you'll give us traveling safety. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Let's
to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Mr. Futrell. All right. That moves us right into, I need a motion to approve the meeting agenda. Do you have anything you need to add to the agenda tonight?
I do not.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, if it pleases the board, Economic Director Scotty Sumlin will appear on your agenda tonight to present a request for you to adopt a resolution regarding Project Freeze. Before that can be done, it requires that a public hearing be held. You scheduled that public hearing for tonight at your last meeting, and it has been properly advertised. So before you adopt that resolution, Mr. Chairman, you will need to open a public hearing to receive public comments on that request. That's all I have to add, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Do I get a motion to approve the agenda tonight with that add-on?
So moved.
Second. I got a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Carried. All opposed, no. Carried. Okay. Now I need a motion to approve the minutes of our February 20th meeting.
So moved. Second.
I got a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Carried. All right. I'm assuming everybody's looked over the consent agenda, so I would entertain a motion there.
So moved.
I got a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
I got a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Carried. That brings us to item number one. Do we have any public comment sign-ups?
No one has signed up for public comments, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, just in case somebody come in late or you're way back there in the crowd, if you want to speak, now's the time. All right, thank you. Moving right along. Item number two,
thank you,
Mr. Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the board, I appear before you now to hear any road or highway concerns that you may have so that I can bring them to the attention of the North Carolina Department of Transportation.
Mr. Daft, do you have anything?
No, sir.
Mr. Edwards?
Yes, sir.
I do want to ask the question in regards to, did you get a call today from Mr. Jones pertaining to the Rome's Chapel and 403 as far as the four-way stops?
I did, Commissioner Branch, and I've got that. I was going to give you that during the announcements, but now is the proper time to do that, so I'll bring it to your attention. The North Carolina Department of Transportation has advised that in an effort to foster better communication between DOT and the Board of Commissioners, our elected leaders, and also the citizens, that the two all-way stops that were scheduled to be installed at NC 403 and Rollins Chapel, and the other one at NC 403 and the Graham Road will be installed on March the 15th. So in case you get any questions, March 15th is the date that both of those intersections are scheduled to be installed with four-way stops. Also, I have a list here in an email of all of the planned four-way stops for Duplin County, and I want to give those to the board members so you'll have a complete list in case someone questions you about it. Of course, I think all of these have already been brought to your attention, but I just wanted to put it in your hands so you'll have a reference.
And there's no chance of talking them out of the four-way stops.
No, sir. And if you'll read the email here that's associated with the list from Mr. Gray, who is the regional traffic engineer, he cites some reasons and some statistics that DOT uses to justify the installation of the four-way stops. But if you have any questions after reading this, I'm sure he would accept a phone call from you or an email, or if you have questions that I can bring to their attention, I'd be glad to do so on your behalf, or any member of the board.
Yeah, I just know there's been a lot of citizens that's not satisfied, at least with the one down towards the Willard area. I mean, not Teachy area.
Bay Road.
Because I've had several calls on that myself.
Yes, sir.
You know, the one thing that I get asked and I can't answer it, and I think he probably may need to come and talk to us one night, but you go to every surrounding county, take for instance up and down 55 in Wayne County. I was even in Greene County the other day, and I saw some in Greene and Lenoir. And every one of these, they have the flashing lights. And we just get a sign with a red flag on top. And so why don't they go ahead and do that?
I can't answer.
I understand.
Yes, sir. Other than to answer you by saying I did make an inquiry last year when they installed them at Bowden Road and Ward's Bridge Road at CM Outlaws. They told me that they had to have a whole year's worth of data regarding accidents before they would make any determination as whether additional signage, additional lighting, or rumble strips were warranted.
Well, that's not correct, because on 55, when they installed them, they went straight with the lights.
Right, and that is a different district. A different district, so they may have, they probably shouldn't have different policies because they're all DOT. But I understand what you're saying, and I have seen some four-way intersections in other areas of the state that do have flashing lights warning you that you're approaching one.
And I mean, one of the arguments I would make was 55 is a North Carolina highway. What they just did on 117, that's a U.S. highway.
Right.
So, I mean, that highway carries a larger designation than a state highway.
Right.
Well, I would like to say that there has been some additional discussion about what you're saying, and Mr. Gray is currently looking into what it would take to go ahead and put additional notices out there, especially on the U.S. 117 and Bay Road. But it's like a lot of things, it just takes time before there's some feedback. But I've had that conversation with them. And to your point, Mr. Chair, in terms of being able to figure out a different way to achieve what's taking place with them, their minds are kind of set, but they're aware of the fact that it may not be in the best light of our citizens. But the number one goal was to make sure that they communicate, to make sure that we are aware and everyone that's in that link is aware so that we can effectively communicate about the changes that's taking place so it won't be an overnight switch around.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
I hate to bring it up again, but the sign on the 24 in, somebody's borrowed it another time.
Since it was reinstalled the last time?
Okay. Yes.
Sounds like we need to put a trail cam up there.
Exactly. Or maybe you just need to let me install it. It's not far from where I keep my cows back. Just saying.
I will make DOT aware, Mr. Chairman.
And I'm sorry to keep bringing it up, but like I said, it's walked off.
Does any member of the general public have any road concerns that I can convey? Yes, sir, Dr. Boykin.
Yes, the same road that I discussed before, Hill Street and Cross Street, that intersection, spring is around the corner, spring rains will follow. The flooding will, I'm sure, be the same as it has been for years. All along Hill Street, across the railroad track, up into Cross Street, right along the church, it floods continuously. The land is eroded. And again, we get into problems of jurisdiction, town versus county versus state. I think there's a combination in there. And the drainage work, but it doesn't resolve the problem at all.
Okay.
Also, that list that we have, is it possible that that might be circulated or let it live, and other people could be informed of it in advance of the installation? That might help ease people's minds as well.
Yes, sir, Dr. Boykin. I would be glad to give you the list, but as far as the installation date, that's not on that list. I just received a separate email advising me of those two particular sites, but when the others come out, I'm hoping in the future they're going to do that with every site that they add, so we'll try to publicize that. But I'll get you that email, and I'll also try to publish it, maybe give it to the Duplin Times so they can be aware of it. Anybody else have a road concern? Thank you.
Okay, that brings us to item number 3. Mr. Charles. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Anita. Good evening. So I'm here to recommend to the Board of Commissioners and for y'all to conduct a public hearing that we amend the following ordinances to the subdivision ordinance, the mobile home park ordinance, and the airport land development and height restriction ordinance. Did I say that right?
No.
It's
airport
development ordinance. They've got a couple of them in
land use and height restriction ordinance.
The land use and height restriction ordinance, which currently they all, if somebody applies for a permit with planning and they're denied, it goes through the process. Currently, their appeal or variance, as it's known in legal terms, goes before the planning board. It is my recommendation, due to the Institute of Government, best practices of the counties around us, the county manager, the county attorney, myself, and unanimously by the Airport Commission, the Economic Development Commission, and the Planning Board, all of those members, they are recommending that y'all entertain forming a board of adjustment to hear people's appeals. As I stated to those three boards, to me it's not fair or ethical for the same person to turns you down to hear your appeal. So I think this will be fair and just for the citizens. So that is my recommendation, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, unless somebody from the board's got a comment, I'm ready to open up for the public hearing. All right, at this time I'll open up the public hearing. So anybody from the public, feel free to ask any questions that you may have about these ordinance or the recommendation of towards the planning board and the
board of adjustment.
The board of adjustment. Thank you. So, any comments, please ask at this time. Hearing no comments, I'm going to close the public hearing, and then I come back to the board for a motion or privilege of the board. They have a motion from anybody in the board to move on with these regulation changes and for the subdivisions and the planning board request.
I'm making a motion move.
Okay, I've got a motion.
A second.
And I got a second. Now let's open it up for discussion. Obviously, there needs some discussion.
Not to interrupt you, Mr. Chairman, but if I think if I heard Mr. Futrell correctly, we probably need to amend the motion as it's written here. So it should not be airport rules and regulations ordinance. It should be the, say it again.
Airport development ordinance and the airport land use restriction ordinance.
Mr. Branch, you made the motion. You're in agreement with the change that was just written in?
Yes.
In agreement with the second? Okay, still open for discussion.
Mr. Rollins.
Yes, sir.
With what you've stated thus far, and it's clear, but in terms of pros and cons, let's go with the cons first. What would be any cons pertaining to what your question is?
Probably the biggest con is finding five people who want to serve on a very technical committee that's not going to be used very much. Most jurisdictions don't have a two or three variance hearings a year. That's probably the biggest con. The second one is just an additional board, but that's not labor intensive on the staff as far as that goes. It is additional meeting whenever we do have a variance for the county attorney to be there representing the county, because it is a quasi-judicial hearing. So the best way I could explain that it's like a jury of five people. The county comes in, that would be myself and the county attorney representing the county, saying these are our ordinances and this is why we believe they should be upheld. The plaintiff or the person asking for the variance would state their case as to why. They have to meet the four findings of fact, and they have to also argue in their favor why they did not create an undue hardship. In other words, they created the hardship while they want the variance. So that's the only con that I can think of is finding five people, but I feel pretty confident in doing that. I've already spoke to a couple of people in the community, but it would be at the pleasure of this board, and certainly I'd be soliciting your eager help to find people that would represent our community across the county.
So there's no con that is actually in violation of any type of law, rule?
No, sir. This is best practices. It is recommended by the Institute of Government. It is, if you want, what everybody else is doing. We're just kind of shifting gears a little bit, making it fair for the citizens.
And our bordering counties are in order with this process?
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And it's just a fact finding that you've discovered as a result of being in the role that this wasn't in play?
Yes, sir. And there's certain procedures we have to follow too. And we've instituted those procedures for, we have somebody that actually did a verbal request today, and we're getting the paperwork together to them for a variance. And there's certain procedures by law that North Carolina state law, not our county law, says you got to follow. So we're going to make sure we follow those so everybody has a fair shake.
So as it stands now, the perception could be that everyone don't have a fair shake?
I wouldn't say they don't have a fair shake, but make sure that everybody is represented. One of the things I think that we might have forgotten to do is to notify the surrounding landowners when somebody asks for an exception. Say Chairman Edwards asked for an exception, and you all, the other four of you commissioners, are contiguous landowners. We have to notify you because you have what's called standing. An objection to or in favor of the variance.
So if we put that effort in place but may not secure five people, how does that play in the process?
I'll be back to you looking for more people, but I feel confident I can find five people out of 58,000 to serve.
Mr. Wilson, you know of anything?
No, and just to be clear, the current system that's in place with the planning board operating in this judicial capacity, it is legal to do it that way, but again, it's not recommended by the school of government, and reason being the quasi-judicial component to it, there should be five independent people that are just hearing it for the very first time and have not been consulted with at any point along the way.
Mr. Brunson, you have anything to add?
I would agree. I don't think it's fair to have the planning board render a decision and then you have to appeal their decision to the same body. They've already made a decision, so you need an independent group who can look at the facts again and make a decision.
Inspecting what you expect.
Yes, sir.
And if I understood correctly from the conversation that we had last meeting, is, for instance, if we served as that body and someone called one of us just to share their complaint, then we would have to remove ourselves from voting.
Correct.
And that was one of the advantages of having a separate board versus the commissioner board, because you really don't want to do anything to create people not feeling they can call the commissioner.
Correct. And to go one step further, Mr. Chairman, just a clarification is, if you remove yourself because of the ex parte communication rule, which legally and ethically are required to do, your vote automatically counts against them. And the way the state law is set up, it's an 80% has to vote for them, no matter what the quorum is, 80% of the sitting board. So if you have five members, four have got to vote for them. If one of you gets contacted, that automatically is a no. The other four have to unanimously agree with the person. So having a separate board, it also, I mean, as I had some discussion prior to the meeting, I think it protects you all individually, politically, so that if somebody can't get upset, you got a separate board who's appointed, and they're hearing the evidence for the very first time.
This board, would they be under the same circumstances as we would be, as far as an individual reaching out to them, and they would have to surrender their right to vote?
Yes, sir.
Leads to my question that I was going to ask. So if we appoint this five-member board, to me, and I don't know what the law states, Mr. Wilson, normally we post who is on our boards. I think it would be in the best interest of this board for it not to be posted.
I mean, is that true?
Is that legal?
No, I think it's got to be posted.
I think it has to be legal. It has to be posted.
We don't have to post a phone number for them, right?
No,
but they'll also be trained, Commissioner Garner, they'll be trained by the Council of Governments. We have that training lined up and funded already so that they understand that if they do get a phone call and somebody says, look, if you want to talk to me about anything, I cannot talk to you about it, to be fair to you, and end the conversation. And
those communications should now go all to Mr. Rollins and the Planning Board, which will remain in place for Q&A, advisory opinions, and then hopefully insulating the Board of Adjustment to handle the quasi-judicial component independently.
Mr. Davis, have we had any such issues that just such board would be required over the years that you can recall?
The Planning Board in recent years has been granting a lot of variances and not turning down many, if any, Mr. Rollins, in your record that you can find, but I don't think we've been doing things the way they should be done as far as best practices, and he's trying to institute best practice. I do know I had an email from a surveyor this morning. He had a client. She wants a variance, and I put her in touch with, he sent the correspondence to both me and Mr. Rollins, and Mr. Rollins is working through the process. She's going to request the variance. So this will be our first trial run at it.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Chair, I guess she is requesting a variance from the Planning Board or from the Board of Adjustment?
She's just requesting a variance. So it depends on where
it lands. So she hasn't been turned down yet?
No, sir. She's not had her hearing. I explained to the surveyor what state law was that I needed to get her an application. I need to give her a list of names of the contiguous landowners. She's going to have to do self-addressed stamped envelopes. I'm going to have to post the property and then notify whichever Board of Adjustment is in place at that time of the hearing. They will hear the case for the first time, hopefully without they've not heard of the case before, and give her a fair and just ruling. She's actually asking for two variances, not just one, but two on her piece of property.
Is that in the right direction?
Any further questions? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Carried.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. And if you have any names, please reach out to me so myself and the county manager can get that process started as soon as possible. Get you some nominations.
They can come from anywhere in the county, though, right?
Sir.
They can come from anywhere in the county, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir. But again, we would like it to represent the whole county, you know, people of color, some from the agricultural community, and different parts of the county, not from one end.
Good deal. Yes, sir.
All right, that moves us to item number four. Ms. Kennedy.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I'm here to conduct a public hearing on behalf of James Keenan. He is wanting to name a lane at the 1400 block of Old Camp Road in Magnolia Township, and he has chosen Keenan Family Lane.
Okay, I'm going to open up public hearing. Feel free to comment. Ask any questions? Hearing none, I'm going to close the public hearing. What is the pleasure of the board?
Motion to approve.
Yes.
I got a motion and a second to approve the request, James Keenan, to name this road on 1400 block of Old Camp Road to Keenan Family Lane. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Carried. Okay, that moves us to item number five.
Need to request a public hearing for Mr. Dwight Hill in Wolf Scrape Township. He actually needs to name two lanes at the 600 block on Kenzie Mill Road. And I need to schedule that for the first meeting in April, and I don't have the date.
Okay, it was on here for March the 20th, but you want to move it to April?
You want April 6th?
Yeah, because it's
I think
not
it's
gonna
April 6th. No, I'm sorry. That'll be April 3rd, Mr. Chairman. April 3rd.
Yeah, change it to April 3rd because they don't have time to advertise it.
Okay.
Okay, I have a request that we hold a public hearing on April the 3rd, 2023, for hearing the request of Dwight Hill naming two lanes. Did I get a motion?
Motion to approve.
Second.
I got a motion and a second to approve to hold that public hearing. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Same sign. All right. Carrie,
thank
thanks.
Ms. Kennedy, before you leave, I have one question I wanted to ask you. Uh-huh. And if I'm wrong here, somebody please tell me. With our lane naming ordinance, is there any changes that need to be made to it?
Well, we did it a couple of three years ago. And I've been talking to Jimmy Dixon, trying to get the statute changed where we don't have to do this.
So this is a state-required statute that requires this. Okay.
And he has gotten back with me 2 weeks ago.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am.
Okay. That moves us to item number six. Mr. Davis.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. I appear tonight on behalf of Sheriff Stokes, who's at the School of Government this week, and also Chief Deputy Humphrey could not be here tonight due to some personal obligations he had. So I am making requests. The Sheriff's Office has state drug restitution funds with which they wish to purchase two Chevrolet Tahoes at a cost of $38,869.78 each for a total of $77,739.56. These funds were acquired through proceeds from the unauthorized substance tax, which is an excise tax imposed on controlled substances such as marijuana or cocaine, illicit spirituous liquors such as moonshine, mash, and illicit mixed beverages. State and local law enforcement agencies can generate revenue from their narcotics investigations if during the investigation a taxable quantity of drugs is discovered and the agency submits the appropriate referral to the North Carolina Department of Revenue, which our sheriff's office has. Thus, these vehicles are being purchased with non-general fund monies. The total amount of funds in the Sheriff's Office State Drug Restitution Fund is currently $257,462. The Tahoes, as I said, are a little over 38,000. I believe Captain Brock's not here tonight, but I think we're paying around 42 to 43,000 for Dodge Durangos. You cannot get Dodge Chargers anymore. I heard the last price for F-150, Matt, you may know, it's about $45,000 to $48,000, depending on what you get on it. So I think these Tahoes are at a decent price considering the climate we're in currently.
Pleasure to board.
Motion to approve.
I got a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
I got a second. So the motion and the second is to approve for the purchase of two Chevrolet Tahoes at 77 for a total cost of $77,739.56, and approve the associate budget amendment, and it is coming out of the drug funds. It's not coming from the general fund. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
These are new, correct?
Yes, sir. They are new.
There is no money here to equip them. Do they have the money to equip them, or are they going to be back in front of us asking for that money?
No.
They have enough money in that fund.
I'm sorry.
They have enough money in that fund to equip them and purchase them.
Yeah, and that wouldn't probably come before the board because the amount of the expenditure wouldn't exceed the amount. Plus, I believe these are going to be investigative vehicles or undercover vehicles.
Okay, I was a little bit fast, so I'll give you some more time. Any further comments? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. All opposed, same sign. Carried. Okay, that brings us to item number 7. Joe.
Good evening, Chairman Board.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I'm here to ask to fill a vacant position on the Animal Advisory Board with Michelle Blanton of Wallace.
Pleasure to board.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Got a motion and a second to approve. Any further comments? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. All opposed, same sign. You got it. Thank you. How are you coming on your project?
Good. We're going good. We picked out colors today.
All right.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you. That brings us to item number 8. Mr. Scotty.
I'm going to go ahead and conduct a public hearing.
Yes, if you but come on up and put yourself in front of the public so that they can ask you questions.
Good evening.
Good evening, good evening, sir.
Board. Again, on behalf of the Economic Development Commission, wish you warm regards. Great things are happening in Duplin County again. I'm here tonight to request that we conduct a public hearing, and it is for Project Freeze. I ask you to bear with us as this is at this point, a potential state incentive. So, company name will not be divulged. But what we're looking at is an existing industry in Duplin County, and a leading supplier and grower across the nation is looking to expand, add 19 new jobs, approximately a $2 million investment. And, as the board knows, a incentive from the state requires a match from the county, and that's what we're here to discuss tonight.
Okay, I would like to open up for public hearing. Any comments from the public? Feel free to ask your questions. Mr. Scotty will truly answer them.
Scotty, I think it would, for the record, if you could state the amount of the county match that you would be asking for.
Yes, sir. Initially, when we thought that this was coming about, we were looking at a state incentive of approximately $130,000. And then upon them reviewing the paperwork, had deemed the investment at $2 million, the type of jobs that would be created, they would be able to do $170,000 incentive. So The county match would be 5%, and it's $8,500.
Thank you.
This is no budget amendment is being requested. This is money that the County Economic Development Commission does have, and the Economic Development Commission does support the incentive.
Public? Hearing no request, I'm going to close the public hearing. Now I come back to the board. Questions, comments that you would like to ask?
The $8,500 is grant, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
The incentive is actually a dollar-for-dollar match from the state. And again, a $2 million investment, they've much more, the company's much more than covered their portion. Additionally, down the road, now an investment of $2 million doesn't necessarily mean that the evaluation, tax evaluation that year end will show that, but even at an amount less than that, we're talking about it as far as tax base created would be in excess of $14,000, if you understand. So.
Yep. Okay, at this time I would entertain a motion from the board.
Motion to approve.
Second.
I got a motion and a second to adopt the resolution of supporting for economic development project freeze. That basically it's matching $8,500 and the chairman to sign the rural building rescue and infrastructure application. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Carried. So you can move on with your project.
Thank you, gentlemen. We'll keep you posted.
That brings us to item number 9, Mr. Tim Wilson.
Good evening again, Commissioners.
Good evening. Good evening.
Here before you tonight with regard to additional opioid settlement funds that are on the table, proposed settlements that are before the board tonight and before all the counties and local governments throughout the country that have participated in this. What I'm seeking is a board adoption of a resolution of authorizing the county manager. That's one thing that is a little bit different than what we had in the packet. We had originally drafted it to authorize me to enter into those agreements, but Mr. Brinson's name is on all of the DocuSign as the county's representative, and they've already sent him the email. So the most current version of the resolution lists Mr. Brinson instead of me. So that's the motion that I'm asking for, is to for the board to approve a resolution authorizing Mr. Brinson to sign on to the latest round of opioid settlements and the associated agreement with the Attorney General's office regarding distribution of those funds. Just a little bit of background on this, because I know Mr. Edwards is new and may not be totally up to speed on this. Suits in this matter were originally filed back in 2018, 2019. Local governments, like I say, both in North Carolina and across the country, sued the distributors and manufacturers of opioids in relation to the opioid crisis that we've all confronted all across the country. There was previously a $26 billion settlement with Johnson & Johnson, Cardinal Health, Amerisource and McKesson that was entered into back in 2021. We took part in that. Duplin County's portion of those funds was $2,465,617. We began receiving some of those funds last year. The payments are made on a schedule that runs through 2039. So it's quite a long period that we'll be continuing to receive these funds and figure out plans as to how to best spend that money for prevention, treatment of, it's a pretty wide range of categories that we can spend the money on, and we're going to talk with you guys more about that on Friday during the retreat. We're going to have the health department and some representatives from the sheriff's office to walk through some of those things kind of bring you guys up to speed on what the plan is on those funds, but bringing you back to why I'm here tonight, and that's there's a new round of settlements. This time the settlements, last time they were $26 billion, this time they're around $20 billion. These settlements are with CVS, Walgreens, Walmart, Teva, and Allergan. We have been in consultation, the manager and I, with the Attorney General's office, the attorneys that represent us both at the local or state and national levels, and then also the North Carolina Association of County Commissioners, and they all unanimously recommend that we proceed with entering into these agreements. So that's what's on the table right now is the settlement agreements with all five distributors, and then the agreement that's got to be signed with the North Carolina Attorney General's office, which controls the disbursement of funds. All the funds go to them, and then they are dispersed to the counties pursuant to that agreement. If it pleases the commission, I can read the resolution onto the record. I'll defer to you all if you want me to go through that.
Go ahead.
So the proposed resolution that is with the guidance of all the parties I just named, the Attorney General's office and the office of Association of County Commissioners has been drafted, and Mr. Brinson tweaked it to make it unique to us. It reads, whereas the opioid overdose epidemic has taken the lives of more than 32,000 North Carolinians 2000 through 2021, whereas the COVID-19 pandemic has compounded the opioid overdose crisis, increasing levels of drug misuse, addiction, and overdose death, and whereas the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention estimates the total economic burden of prescription opioid misuse alone in the United States is $78.5 billion per year, including the cost of healthcare, lost productivity, addiction treatment, and criminal justice involvement. And whereas certain counties and municipalities in North Carolina joined with thousands of local governments across the country to file lawsuits against opioid manufacturers, pharmaceutal distribution companies, and chain drugstores to hold those companies accountable for their misconduct. And whereas settlements have now been reached in litigation against Walmart, Teva Pharmaceutical Industries Limited, Allergan Finance LLC, Allergan Limited, CVS Health Corporation, CVS Pharmacy Inc., and Walgreens Co., as well as their subsidiaries, affiliates, officers, and directors named in the settlements. Whereas representatives of local governments, the North Carolina Association of County Commissioners, and the North Carolina Department of Justice have negotiated and prepared a supplemental agreement for additional funds to provide for the equitable distribution of the proceeds of these settlements. And whereas by joining the settlements and approving the SAAF, the Supplemental Agreement for Additional Funds, the state and local governments maximize North Carolina's share of opioid settlement funds to ensure the needed resources reach communities as quickly, effectively, and directly as possible. Whereas it is advantageous to all North Carolinians for local governments, including Duplin County and its residents, to sign on to these settlements and SAAF and demonstrate solidarity in response to the opioid overdose crisis and to maximize the share of opioid settlement funds received both in this state and this county to help abate the harm. Whereas the SAAF directs substantial resources over multiple years to local governments on the front lines of the opioid overdose epidemic while ensuring that these resources are used in an effective way to address the crisis. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Board of Commissioners of Duplin County hereby authorizes the county manager to execute all documents necessary to enter into opioid settlement agreements with Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, Allergan, and Teva to execute the SAAF and to provide such documents to Rubris, the implementation administrator.
Thank you, Mr. Wilson. I need a motion from the board to adopt that resolution.
So moved.
I got a motion. I need a second. I got a motion and a second. Any further comments or questions? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Carried. Thank you, Mr. Wilson. That brings us to item number 10, Mr. Brian Mathis.
Good evening, Commissioners, Mr. Chairman.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I've come before you tonight to request acceptance and a budget amendment for the additional round of funding for FEMA's Hazard Mitigation Grant Program for Hurricane Florence in the amount of $1,985,180.40. This grant program is designed to reduce financial impacts and hardships caused by future natural disasters and severe flooding by purchasing and acquiring habitual flood properties. To date, Duplin County has acquired 13 properties and elevated one structure with hazard mitigation funding following both Hurricane Florence and Hurricane Matthew. This additional round of funding that's been approved by FEMA will support the acquisition of 19 additional properties that were flooded during Hurricane Florence.
Pleasure to the board.
So move.
I got a motion and I got a second to approve the Hurricane Florence mitigation grant and associate budget amendment. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
That brings us to item number 11, Ms. Donna Brown.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening. Good evening.
Duplin County Water advertised for civil bids on mowing services to all the work sites on February the 9th. The civil bids were opened, the lowest bidder was Down East Property Services. So tonight I need you to approve the contract for 1 year with the option to renew for 2 additional years if both parties agree.
Pleasure to the board.
Motion to approve.
Second.
I got a motion and a second to accept this contract on a 1 year basis with the option for a 2 year option?
If both parties agree, yes.
Yeah. All right. Further discussion? Hearing none? All in favor say aye. All opposed? Carried.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That brings us to item number 12. Mr. Gary Rose.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good to see you back, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Glad to be back.
I can imagine. I'm here asking to reclassify a position. It's currently the senior real estate appraiser, and I would like to lower that down to real estate appraiser. Reason for that job was advertised for about a year, and we had 2 applicants, and neither one of them were qualified, and I believe I can find a qualified person that's just a regular real estate appraiser. And we need one bad.
Pleasure to the board.
So moved.
I got a motion. Do I get a second?
Second.
I got a motion and a second to reclassify the senior real estate appraiser position, grade 64, to create a real estate appraiser position, grade 61.
Mr. Chairman, you're actually abolishing the senior real estate appraiser position and replacing it with another real estate appraiser, so you're not adding position to the budget. It'll be the same number of positions.
Okay. Further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. All opposed, same sign. Carried.
Thank you.
Thank you. That brings us to item number 13.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. I have a few announcements I'd like to bring to your attention. First, I believe Ms. Hoskins placed a sheet before you tonight that gives all of the dates and times that the department heads will be presenting their budgets to the budget committee this week, beginning tomorrow morning, continuing through Thursday morning. If any of you have any questions about that, just let me know, and you're welcome to attend any and or all of the sessions. Also, I would like to bring to your attention again that your retreat is scheduled for this Friday at the airport in the conference room, and I have a draft agenda. I believe each of you has that agenda before you. Does anyone have? Did you pass those out? Okay. If any of you have anything that you want me to, any topics you want me to add to that, I'll be glad to do so. Right now, we're scheduled to have an update and discussion on the proposed Senior Services and Veteran Services facility. Then we will have a planning and development SWOT analysis, strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. We will have a discussion on animal control in the municipalities. We will have a construction update on all of the capital projects that we've got going on. Well, after lunch, we will have a discussion on the opioid settlement funds. And finally, we will have a budget and financial outlook update, followed by a roundtable discussion where you guys will help us establish budget priorities for the upcoming fiscal year. Lunch will be provided to them. The only other announcement I have is just a reminder that the Blue Brew and Q Festival will be coming up Saturday, March the 25th. Now, Mr. Chairman, I would like to request that the board go into closed session for legal matters pursuant to North Carolina General Statute 143-318-11A3.
Okay, so I need a motion to go out of open session, enter into closed session.
So moved.
I got a motion and a second. You got the second?
Second.
Okay. They both made the motion at the same time, so I just figured one of them was second. All right. Further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Carried. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going into closed session. Appreciate you attending tonight. Anything that we discussed that needs to be brought up?
I'll just remind the board that you're not adjourning, you're recessing until Friday morning at 9 a.m. for your retreat at the airport in the conference room.
Okay, can I get a motion to recess until Friday?
So moved.
I got a motion and a second. Further discussion? Hearing none. Everybody say aye.
Aye.
I think it's unanimous. See y'all Friday.